and welcome to the Corny Charm Podcast. My guest today is JT Lawson, and he just wrote a book on what he learned from his millionaire mentor. So I'm very curious to hear about this. So before we begin, so that we can keep this podcast going, I'm not going to take too much time, though, because we have a short period of time with our guest today. But I just want to say a reminder that any way that you can support the podcast is greatly appreciated. You can like, share, subscribe, and go to my website. It is CourtneyTurner.com. That is, again, Courtenay, C-O-U-R-T-E-N-A-Y. And you can donate directly through Give, Send, Go, through Venmo, buy me a coffee, send me letters to my P.O. Box. Although we are actually in the process of updating that, so I'll be having a new P.O. Box for you. Add me to your crowd. Please do that so we can share news. You can also just go to the links below this podcast and it will have all the products if you want to support me that way by getting great products for yourself. And that helps both of us. So without further ado, let's bring on our guest today, JT. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing phenomenal. I appreciate you guys letting me on today.
Yeah, likewise. We appreciate having you here. So tell us, I would love to know what you learned. I happen to know this mentor of yours. I think I'm going to be seeing him next week. So tell us what spawned the book.
Yeah, well, I learned a lot. So, I mean, it basically switched my whole mindset. So I went through, and what started my journey was I was playing college basketball in Canada, and then I was supposed to go to Spain to play, and then COVID happened, and I had my flights for overseas booked and everything to go play overseas. I was going to go to a pro placement program, and then COVID happened, so I stopped doing that. I went and worked for a gym, and this gym had a business coach, and the gym was scorebball.com, and they had a business coach, which was Clay Clark. And so I went to one of his business conferences, and at the time, I had just read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So that's this book. It's phenomenal. I feel like it's one of those where it's everyone's starting point. And so I read that. Then I read his second book, which is Cash Flow Quadrant. And it talks about there's four quadrants of people. So there's employee, self-employed, business owner, and investor. And he talks about how you have to be careful about where you get your advice. So I realized that everyone in my life was an employee. So where I was getting my advice from was all employee people, and no one knew how to run a business. And so I went to this business conference, and everything Clay's saying is like blowing my mind left and right. And I'm just blown away. And then Clay Stairs was at the conference too. And he was 60 at the time, and he was in the same position that my parents currently were. So both of my parents are school teachers. My mom teaches special needs, and my dad teaches fifth grade science and history. Nice. And Clay Stairs was in the same spot, and he hated it. And then he talked to Clay, and it completely turned his life around. So after I talked to Clay and after I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I bought 6 copies of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, because I was like, everyone in my life needs to know this, because if we all know, we're all going to be rich. I mean, that was my mindset. So I got them a copy, and then I go back 5 months later, and the book is still in the same spot on the shelf covered in dust. And my mom's upstairs doing a puzzle on a computer, and my dad's downstairs watching Netflix. And I asked my mom, and I was like, hey, have you guys read that book? And she was like, no, we just don't have time. And while she was doing a puzzle, my dad was watching Netflix. So I learned that I can't help people who don't want to be helped. And so, that book's incredible. So I learned I can't help people who don't want to be helped. And so I kept giving unsolicited advice to people once I learned from Clay. And so I wrote a book about all the things I learned through the process of working with him. Because people who don't know Clay Clark, he has built 13 multimillion dollar businesses. He has a radio show, the Thrive 15 show, and he hit the top of iTunes 6 different times for business. And he also does business consulting, where he coaches 160 business clients every single month. And so that's how I met him, was through the business consulting. So I just tracked my journey and all the things I learned from him. And I kept it short on purpose because no one reads. So when I started writing, I don't know if you know this, but you're supposed to front load everything. They call it front loading. So you're supposed to keep all the fun stuff in the front, like three chapters, because no one reads after that. And I decided that I would keep it short and get straight to the point on all of it. So this, nothing against Rich Dad Poor Dad, but this is a difference. So wow. I wanted mine to be easily digestible, but make a big impact. And so that's where I'm at. And I have a lot of good stuff in there that we can get into.
Yeah, I would love to. So what spawned the impetus for writing the book? And how did you feel about it? Like, was it, I think a lot of people, I know for myself personally, a lot of people have suggested I write a book, and the thought of it is very daunting, overwhelming. And I've started to outline though, so it will be coming. I just need to block out more time to do it, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, what prompted it, one was Clay, but mm-hmm. also, because I came to him and told him I wanted to write a book. So you only tell Clay things if you're actually going to do them, because he will follow up and harass you nonstop until it's done. So, So I told him, because I knew he would harass me and then I would have to do it, that I was going to write a book. And then the reasoning behind it was I learned a bunch and I wanted to give back, but I kept finding myself understanding that if you can't teach it, you don't fully understand it. Mm-hmm. So I kept finding, as I was writing, I kept finding holes in the things I was writing, not because they were wrong, but just because when people would ask me these questions, I'd be like, oh, I need to get more educated in that area, or I need to get more educated in this. And Jordan Peterson, do you know who Jordan Peterson is?
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. He's phenomenal. But he talks about the pen is mightier than the sword, obviously, but that you should write. And you should get good at it, because you should be able to control your tongue, and you should mm-hmm. Try to cut out the ums, likes, the you knows, all of that. And once you have your tongue under control, you can then make a bigger impact on the world, is the gist of it. So that's one of the big reasons, is I just wanted to understand that I actually know it, so I could teach it to more people.
Yeah, I love that. That's actually very powerful. So it's this idea, the clarity of a thought. And writing is one of the ways that you can really codify your own belief system and structure, you know, them in a way that can be obviously better relayed to others. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. And I kept having young guys ask me to mentor them. And mm-hmm. I figured I wanted to write a book so that I could, cause I could reach more people mm-hmm. and they could have something that I was already teaching. And so that was a big reason why, I wrote the book was for that. So it wasn't about making money or mm-hmm. because the average author sells like 200 copies, I think is a statistic. And I don't know if you guys know this, but if you sell it, so you will, cause you're writing a book, but if you sell a book on Amazon, my understanding is Amazon makes more on it than I do. So as an author, anyone who sells a book on Amazon, which to each their own. So that's why I suggest people buy it from my website, but jtlawson.com. We're also doing a thing that if you buy from the website, you are entered in for a free VIP upgrade to the Reawaken America tour that Clay does, or the business conferences that Clay puts on. And we are actually sending someone to Hawaii. So in January, ooh, we're going to be sending somebody to Hawaii who bought the book, and we'll have all the information if they buy it from the website. So that's what we're doing, just because Hawaii is great. That's what we wanted to do, and Clay suggested it.
So we get an upgrade to the business conference as well.
So you get entered in for a chance to win an upgrade to the business conference.
Okay, very cool. And and then when I see you, I'll also ask for a signature so you can sign the copy.
We can do it. I will devalue your book. I will for sure do that for you.
So. Well, thank you. I look forward to the devaluing of your book. So can you give us some highlights? What are the things that you learned, and particularly what were some things that really surprised you?
Yeah. Well, through this journey, I've learned that most people, you know, this year is going to be interesting. And 2024, it's going to be very interesting coming out. So there's kind of, I think the world's in a tough spot right now, and there's kind of three reasons. I think one, we're finding out there's pure evil in the world. I think people are understanding that. So sure. I rely on Clay and like the Reawaken America tours to help combat that. And then I feel like as a nation, speaking about the United States, we have gotten farther away from God as a culture. And I rely on people like Jackson Longmire with Sheridan Church.tv to bring people back to God and all the great pastors we have on the tour. But I also feel like we have the weakest men America has ever seen. So my understanding is, you know, weak men create hard times. Hard times create strong men. Strong men create easy times. And because we've been in easy times, we now have the weakest men. Because almost anyone now lives better than any king ever did. You have heating and air conditioning. You have food that you can order on an app and have with you that comes to you at any time of the day. And it's just, but with that, I learned that you have to surround yourself with people who are where you want to be. And that's the biggest hack I have for people. And that's one of the things I learned. But with all of this, you have to be able to have your F6 goal. So I think that was the biggest thing I learned was what Clay talks about, the F6 goals. Because you have, because if you have financial success, but you're unhealthy, that's not the point. Or if you see these super jacked guys, but they have no money, well, that's not helpful. So the goal is time and financial freedom. So Clay talks about the F6 goals. So if I could teach anyone anything, it would be this, that you have to figure out your F6 goals. So that's faith, family, friendships, fitness, finance, fun. And that's faith, family, fitness, finance, fun. And the reason being is because Clay's one of the few people that I've seen who makes as much money as he does. He's as successful as he is, and he works as hard as he does, that still has wife and kids that love him. So because you see these multi-billionaires or multi-millionaires, and they're out there, and they're going on private yachts. They're hanging out with super young teenage girls, but they're not happy with their wife or family, or the family hates them and stuff like that. So you have to have a foundation in all of those things. And that's really key.
Yeah, that is really key. So did he give you any insights on how you balance all of that? I think that's something people, particularly Americans, really struggle with, that whole work-life balance.
Yeah, absolutely. So you, me, Clay, Donald Trump, Bill Gates, anyone, you know, whoever it is, we all have 24 hours in a day.
Are you sure about this? I don't know. I've shadowed Clay for a day. It seems like he just found a few extra hours that the rest of us are not privy to. I'm not sure.
Right. Yeah. And so what I've learned is that you have to, one of the biggest things you have to have a calendar and to-do list. So I always have a calendar to-do list. So like I knew that our interview was right now because it was on my calendar. Where some people don't understand how time and space works, and they're always late to things, or they're always missing things, or they don't, and they try to just remember everything. So when I was playing college basketball, the only thing that was on my calendar was things other people put on it. So it was things my coach put on it or my teachers put on it, but I never actually scheduled anything other than going to the club on the weekends. So that was the only thing that I, in my mind, had scheduled was things that didn't matter. Because I would go to the gym, but I didn't have a plan. I was super motivated, but I didn't have a plan. So I would just go to the gym, and then whatever happened, happened. You know, I would keep bouncing from idea to idea. And then, with the to-do list, Clay talks about the pen is for remembering, the brain is for thinking. So you should never try to remember anything. You should just write everything down.
Einstein said that too. He didn't use those words, but Einstein said, you know, the more that you try and remember things that are, you know, like the minutiae, the day to day, then the less room you have for, you know, abstract and higher reasoning. And so he wrote everything down. I mean, back then he didn't have, you know, we didn't have apps like we do today, but he had, I think he was infamous for being kind of cluttered and having, you know, little notes everywhere. But he'd write it down, because then, you know, whatever you can get out of your head, then it was like a file cabinet. You'd have more room inside. So,
And I'll touch on something you said there, because a lot of people with this process, so I talk about it in my book, but they try to use apps to make things, you know, go smoother or cleaner, or they try to have different calendars for work and life and fun, but it's all one calendar. So because it's all life. So your work is part of your life. So that's just how it is. So separating it doesn't make sense. So Clay schedules date nights with his wife. He schedules family time. and you can't have these separate things. And then with the to-do list, it can't be on your phone. Because, and I know somebody's arguing with me, but it can't be on your phone. I'm going to tell you why. Because you go on your phone, and then you get a email or a text message or something, and then you're immediately sidetracked. And then now you're on to something else, and then now you're jumping from idea to idea, and you're not actually getting anything done. So it has
Welcome
to be
to my world.
Right? So it has to be on a spreadsheet or on a piece of paper. It cannot be written down, or you would just hop from idea to idea, and you won't be able to stay focused on things.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I know a lot of people like kind of like bulletin boards or vision board type things, particularly for to-do lists. And I think that is very helpful because then it's, you know, right in front of you and it's, you know, big visual. It's harder to miss.
Yes, absolutely. So I'll show, but this is my to-do list. Mm-hmm. So this is, you just have everything listed out, the new things I write down, but just so people can get a visual. And you have to just stay on top of that. And you have to turn yourself into a person that doesn't do things based on how you feel. You do things based on what's on the calendar. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I'm writing a new book because I've opened makeyourdogepic.com. Mm-hmm. So I opened a dog training business here in Tulsa, and I'm writing a new book about dog training.
Okay.
And I don't have time to write it because I'm doing things throughout the day. So these last on Monday, I got here at 2 a.m. And then the last 2 days I got here at 3 a.m. Because that's the only time I have to work on the book. So we've gone through the process of building it, and we're working on through all the systems, and then we'll end up franchising it, and we'll have different locations. But this is the new business, is makeyourdogepic.com.
That's very exciting. Wow. So that's an interesting statement. You have to do things not based on how you feel, but based on what's on the calendar. People are going to argue with me on this, but I think this is probably what makes men better at, running companies. Not to say that there aren't some women who do a phenomenal job, but you know, women are definitely tend to be more emotionally driven, more, and for biological reason, whereas I think men tend to be more task oriented. And again, there's exceptions. I can already hear people like arguing with me on this, but this is just a biological fact. Women have a cycle. And so that tends to impact how they handle tasks. So,
yeah. Well, and when you talk about this stuff, you have to talk in generalities. So when you talk about that men handle things better than women, you have to talk in generalities. So obviously,
I don't know better, but differently. It's different.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, women do things that men can't do much better than men do. Men do things women can't do. So like, for example, men are faster swimmers. And so when a man then swims, he beats all the women. So that's just a fact. And that's how it is.
Unless
so,
it's a man pretending to be a woman, in which case, you know,
exactly.
That's a whole nother conversation.
Right. Yeah. And so, but we have that. And so, and the tough part about running businesses and running all these things and having a successful thing is that what I've learned being around all these successful people is that you just have to turn yourself into that to where if you have it on your calendar to get up at 4 a.m., you have to get up at 4 a.m., whether you want to or not. If you have it on your calendar and you're having a rough day, it doesn't matter. You have to shut off that emotion and be able to do that. And that's what that's what I feel like a lot of people struggle with is especially now, especially men now, because men are taught now growing up that you should wear your emotions on your sleeve. You should be more emotional. You should tell everyone about your feelings. I've turned myself into someone who no matter what, if it's on the calendar, it has to get done. So it's hard for me to care about other people's excuses because I don't care about my own.
Right.
So why would I care about theirs? And that's, it sounds like, and it sounds mean, and like somebody's arguing with you. I know somebody's arguing with me, but the successful people do that, and they're unapologetically themselves is what I've learned too. So they have a magnificent obsession on something, and they are unapologetically themselves, and that's what I've found with all of these successful people that I've been around now that I've met Clay.
So I have a question about, so you're talking about success and a lot, and now success means different things to different people. So I'm not here to tell people what, you know, what determines success for them. However, you know, the title is millionaire. So we are talking about, you know, fiscal success to some extent. And I'm very curious with your observation, certainly working under Clay and just in general, the, you know, people who have achieved a certain amount of, you know, pecuniary wealth. What have you noticed in terms of their goal setting and in terms of the prioritization? Like, are they focused on achieving accomplishments or is it a particular monetary goal, you know, in place or focus on how they will achieve financial means?
Yeah, that's a good question. My second chapter in my book is Money is the Vehicle. It's not the goal. Mm-hmm. So goal isn't money. So when mm-hmm. I write this book, and that's why I added that as a chapter, because some people get that confused. Sure. So they think that money's the goal. But if you have $1 trillion, but you have no time freedom, what's the point? So the time, mm-hmm. Sorry. So the goal is time and financial freedom. So you sure. want to be able to have both. And so how you figure out where you want to go, and so how all these people do it is that F6, you figure out what your goal is in each of those categories. So, for example, Clay's goal is to have a date night 2 days a week with Vanessa, mm-hmm. his wife. So that's on his calendar. So after he makes it a goal, now he puts it on the calendar. And no matter how he feels, if he's arguing or what's ever going on at work, that does not cover in the date night. It does not matter what's going on. So, mm-hmm. And so that's where it applies too. It doesn't matter how you feel. Those things have to get done. So whether it's a date night or if it's taking his daughters out to go do stuff or if it's working out with his son or whatever it is, he has that stuff scheduled. And he's able to run all these businesses but have this stuff. So one of the things that people try to argue with me is they're like, well, if you're that successful, how do you find time to spend with your wife or family or whatever? Mm-hmm. I would argue that Clay, even though he's busier, he spends mm-hmm. more time together than most people in their relationships. What I mean by that is when he has date night with Vanessa, the phone's off. It's away. Work cannot bug him no matter what. Mm-hmm. And then where I would argue most people say their time together is sitting there like my parents there. Playing, doing a puzzle upstairs, and then somebody's downstairs watching a movie, but they would consider that time together. Or they go out on a date and they're on their phone the whole time, so they're present, but they're not really present, if that makes sense. So I would argue that Clay spends more time with his wife than most people do with their significant other because he has an actual goal and he's not distracted. So you have to figure out those goals. And then whatever it is. So my goals aren't going to be somebody's listening to this goals. Clay's goals aren't going to be my goals. Our goals aren't going to be yours or whatever. It's just you have to figure out your specific goals, but then you schedule it. And then you have to ask yourself, so you have your big goal. So like when I have a goal and when I'm 35, because I said it when I was 25, that I want to bring in $500,000 every single year. I want to own 2 rental properties. I want to have written 2 books, and I want to have written or to own 2 businesses, and I want to have a ranch and 5 rental properties in my favorite places to travel. So those are my goals. But then you have to ask yourself, if I keep doing what I'm currently doing, can I reach my goals? So I had a young guy ask me to mentor him, and he wanted his goal was to own a Lamborghini. I was like, sure, if that's your goal, we'll do it. I'll get you there, but mm-hmm. I'll walk you through it. So I was like, if you keep doing what you're currently doing, how long will it take you before you can do that? And he thinks about it, and then it's a long silence because he's doing the math, and then he's realizes, and he's like, well, if I work for the next 7 years and I don't spend anything, I can afford it. So that's not an actual goal. Because you're going to have food, you're going to have bills, you're going to have other things. So that's a dream. So a dream is just a goal without a deadline. So you have to put a deadline on things and you have to have those goals. And then you have to schedule it and make sure that it is actually happening. So I feel myself, there's a quote by Les Brown that I'll bring up. I should have had it pulled up already. I'll see if I can find it quickly for you. Oh, found it. Nice. But there's a quote, and I normally have it taped to the back of my to-do list, but I lost my to-do list a week ago, And
oh, no.
And that's my whole life. But I normally have this and some other quotes taped to it. But this, I always think about this quote because I feel my 35-year-old self, so I'm 28, I feel my 35-year-old self begging me to wake up at 3 a.m. Like I normally do and do the things I need to do so that I can get to those goals. Because mm-hmm. in 10 years, I'm going to be 10 years older, whether I do what I have on my calendar or not. So, can I also have people say, well, you're 28, you have a lot of energy. It's okay. Okay, you're 65. In 10 years, you're going to be 75, and you're going to be closer to dying, so you might as well try. So, right. No matter what age, like in 10 years, I'm closer to dying, so I might as well try. But this quote by Les Brown, it says, imagine being in your deathbed. And standing around your bed is the ghost of the dreams, the ideas, the abilities, the talents given to you by life. But you, for whatever reason, never pursued those dreams. You never acted on those ideas. You never used those gifts. You never used those talents. And there they are, staring at you as you're lying on your bed. With large, angry eyes, they say, we came to you, and only you could have given us life. And now we must die with you forever. So I know that you get one chance on this earth, and then after that, you get eternity through Christ. But I know on this earth, I get one chance. So I refuse to spend it not trying to be as successful as I can, and success is what I have in my mind. So I want to be able to do these things so that then I can impact others. So I don't want to do it all for myself. I want to be able to buy my mom a house. That's on my goal too. I want to be able to do these things. But if I sit at home and I watch Netflix or I scroll through Instagram, if I care what other people think about me, if I'm buying cars I can't afford to impress people I don't know, I'm not going to be able to reach these goals. So right. I just have that always there, and you have to have these goals present at all times thinking about them.
Wow. That's very powerful. Thank you. And yeah, here's the quote from Les Brown, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful and poignant.
Yeah, so I would just challenge everyone today who's listening to think about what they want to do and what their goals are, and really think about if you keep doing what you're currently doing, are you going to reach them? So if you keep watching Netflix at night, and that's what you do when you go home, if all you do is work your 9 to 5 and then you do that, and maybe that's what you want to do. So maybe your goals are, hey, I want to work my 9 to 5. That way I can have my weekends. I can go to the lake. I can do that. If that's your goal, that's awesome. What I want to do is I want to give you the tools to get to whatever your goals are. Mm-hmm. So I know knowing what I know now, I could for sure play professional basketball if I could mentor my younger self. However, knowing what I know now, I wouldn't want to, because now I have different goals, because my ceiling was here. And then I realized, oh, actually it's way up there if I actually know this stuff. So that's why at jtlawson.com, you can get this book. Maybe it will inspire you, but the goal isn't motivation, because that doesn't last. My goal is to give you the actionable tools to use that you can implement in your life, or maybe you have somebody else that you feel like could really use guidance or use this as a tool to help their life. You can buy this book. You can give it to a friend. It's short. It's easy to read. I made it like that on purpose because most people don't read and they won't watch TikTok videos. So I did it like that on purpose. But I really want to make a change and help people. And that's my goal.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you so much for spending this time with us today. If you have anything else you want to impart, of course, tell them where they can buy your book and where they can find you. All that good stuff.
Yeah, well, it's jtlawson.com, and the dog training business is makeyourdogepic.com. We'll be franchising. And so if you're interested in buying a location, you can reach out to us as well. That's where they can find me, jtlawson.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, likewise. I appreciate having you. And thank you all for watching and listening.
The This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.